Hallelujah. So, Father, tonight we give you praise, glory, honor, thanksgiving. We thank you for our apostle, the founder of this school. We thank you for the purpose for which you founded this school. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. We know nothing except it be given to us from above. So I thank you for ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to believe. Teach us tonight so we can be partakers of the apostolic grace that's upon this ministry. And we thank you for it. Praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in chapter 4, and hopefully we'll get to chapter 5. Tonight, I want to deal primarily with, we've been talking about the four realms of prophecy, Amen. And one of them was, the first one we talked about was the spirit of prophecy, which we said was the Holy Spirit's mantle. And we spent a lot of time talking about the gift of prophecy, which we said is the resident gift for those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then we kind of rushed a little bit. We wanted to talk to you about the ministry of the prophet, which is man in function. We'll do that tonight. And then we'll finalize it by talking about canon of scripture. And if time permits, we'll go into chapter number 5 just a little bit, where it differentiates or distinguishes between, you know, someone who's prophesying and the ministry of the prophet. See, a lot of time people think because you prophesy that make you a prophet or a prophetess, but that's not necessarily so. Amen. And then, so we want to make sure we go into that, and then hopefully, finally, we'll get into the distinguishment between prophets under the old covenant versus the ministry of the prophet in the new covenant. Because it's not the same, it's different, all right? So let's pick up with the ministry of the prophet. The ministry of the prophet. See what page it is in your book. Page number 35. Now, let's pay close attention. It says the prophetic ministry is not an office, but rather it is a ministry, because an office comes by the appointment of men, whereas ministry comes through the call of God. So an office is appointed by men. In the New Testament, you had the office of elders and deacons. We found out that these offices are appointed by men. But when it comes to the ministry gift of the prophet, there's only one person that can call us to function in any of those governmental gifts. We're talking about according to Ephesians 4:11, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 through about 31. When it comes to the ministry of the prophet, it's a ministry. It's not an office. It's a calling. You cannot just go to school and become a prophet. You can't go to school and become an apostle. You can't go to school and become a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist. It's a divine calling. Are you with me? So that must be clearly understood. Some of you, you're here in the school of ministry and training for ministry. But I will say this to you. I think that all five, not think, I know, according to the scripture, that all fivefold ministry gift comes from the heaven to earth government. And it begins with the apostle. Because the apostle, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 28, he set in the church, first of all, apostles. And so all of the other ministry gifts must connect to that gift. I believe that in the apostle is the gifting for all of the other gifts. Are you with me? Because apostles are made to equip us for service. Amen. It's just the truth. And so what we have in today's society are a lot of churches that are not structured properly. They are not covered. They are not protected because they are functioning on their own. We must have the gift the ministry gift of the apostle for all of us to connect to. Watch this, because it's God's government. Yes. You follow what I'm saying? Those fivefold ministry offices, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, they represent the ministry of Jesus Christ in the earth realm, watch this, who stood in all fivefold ministry offices. So last I check in math, five-fifths is a whole. So he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Five, right? One-fifth, not all. But those five make up the ministry of Christ in the earth realm today and are governmental gifts. All right? Now, let's go a little bit further. The fivefold ministry, on the other hand, is God called, anointed, and appointed. It is not ordained of men, or it's not appointed by men. Men only recognize gifts and callings of God in the person. And find appropriate ways to release them into function. Okay, now we're going down some. Page 36. These men and women are representation of Christ's present day ministry in the church. We're talking about the fivefold ministry. They represent the present day ministry of Christ in the earth realm. Their respective dimensions unfold the many facets of Christ's ministry. The prophet reveals Christ, the prophet, and the New Testament pastor reveals Christ, the shepherd. So it goes on to say, these men and women are a representation of Christ's headship over his church. Christ is the head of the church. The church is his body. Our relationship, we get all of the directives from the head, not what men say. It matters how God established and set up the church. All right? They are part of his kingdom, authority, and rulership. So if you can't be submitted to these governmental gifts, you'll never function properly. They are also called governmental ministries. They are instrumental in building, establishing, nourishing, and perfecting the church. So if you won't know why the church is immature, right? It's kind of like having a car. You know those stick shift? Now, I don't know how to drive none, but I do know it'll buck you if you don't know what you're doing. And you can burn up the clutch, tear up the car, mess it all up. Now, they tried to teach me, but I guess I wasn't coordinated enough, you know, because if you got to know how to pop it and hit it, you know, while you're moving it in gear. Well, the church's been out of gear for a long time because we've been functioning, watch this, with this little man we can boss around. Call a pastor. We run him to the hospital. He the only one can do funerals. He got to do all the counseling. We put him in a trailer. Y'all looking, but that's what we've done. Control. Pastors under control by deacons. Come on, talk to me. This has been the present day state of the church. God said under apostolic government, that's out of order. Amen. We don't function on one gift. Then if you don't have that gift, then everybody's an evangelist because they could preach. But I submit unto you according to the canon of scripture. that to stand in any fivefold ministry office, there are certain manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit that are resident in your life for you to stand in those ministry offices. In chapter 5, you will find out. I know I'm going a little bit ahead of myself, but it's good to plug it in right here. See, a lot of people call themselves a prophet, right? Because they prophesy. But there are four manifestations of the Holy Spirit that is resident in a prophet's life, lifestyle, and ministry. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and prophecy. Those manifestations of the Holy Spirit, when I say resident, that means they flow in them constantly and frequently. And we need look no farther than the apostle whose God has called to this region. I've been around him long enough. His spiritual father, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin Sr., trained him to walk in his prophetic ministry. And you see these gifts manifesting in his life over and over and over again. So if you want to call yourself a prophet, you must make sure you have been equipped with these ministry, with these manifestations of the Holy Spirit that qualifies you to stand in those that ministry office. That's why under the old covenant you frequently hear these words coming from the mouth of a prophet. The word of the Lord came unto me for you saying. Now when you say the word of the Lord came unto you, you better know what you're talking about, because they got a lot of folk lying on God. If you tell somebody God told you to say something, then you better make sure God said it to you to say it. All right. See, that's why we don't have real functioning of ministry gifts in the church today, because we have a lot of people operating outside of their intellect and their charisma, their giftedness. Great speakers, but no substance. You understand? Can get you emotionally reared up, but don't have no power to cause things to change in your life. See, when a prophet spoke, things happened. When a prophet spoke, things came to pass. When a prophet spoke, or even when a prophet is speaking, the whole atmosphere changes. They walk into a room and the whole atmosphere changes. They walk into a building and the whole atmosphere. Why? Because they pack in. So if you're going to be standing in one of these ministry offices, you better be packing. People get nervous when prophets come around too, you know, and apostles, because they're governmental gifts and they come to set things in order. So under the old covenant, they would ask the question to the prophet, did you come peaceably? Or you come to stir some stuff up? Yeah. When those real governmental gifts are in manifestation, it causes a real reverence to be present in a church. Now, I know I've been in apostle meetings. He'll shut you down. And there's such a boldness with it, but those who are connected and know, you could feel in the midst of him doing what he do, there's a compassion and there's a love, because he's not for show. He's saying, I'm protecting God's ministry, the way God do things. Amen. In the middle of a prosperity revival, you're talking about this is going to be a great healing service. I submit unto you, don't do that in his meeting. Go to somebody down the street. It may work, but it won't work in here. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. All right. So these gifts, they are instrumental in building, establishing, maturing, and perfecting the church. That's why the head of the church gave it, so we wouldn't be no more babies. According to Ephesians chapter 4:11, you read it. It says that we would be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Every time a new movement comes, folk leave and go. All right. Without the ministry gift, the purpose of the church will not be fully recognized. Without these ministry, without these governmental gifts, it says the purpose of the church, the purpose of the church will not be what? Fully realized. The ministry gifts help mature and establish the believers for the work of service. Now, come on, let's be real. People always complain about churches not growing. Well, a church cannot grow if it's not only not structured right, but if there is no equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. In Jesus' ministry, watch, pay close attention. We always hear this scripture. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Laborers are not to go forth into the harvest. Laborers are to take care of the harvest. You have to mature people in-house to handle the influx of people that are coming in. It's the apostle and prophetic gifts that the apostle go out and preach out and establish churches, and then through God's anointing, apostolic call upon his life, he will raise up men to oversee the work. That's what the apostle Paul did. Yes. He would go into places like Galatia, Ephesus, Thessalonica. You read Colossae. He would go in. He's the one who preached out these ministries. Then he would set elders of men in charge, hello, that he could trust with ministry. Yes. See, apostles will set a pastor over a church so that church could be nourished and fed properly. Most churches today, there was no apostle involved. Somebody had a dream or ate a biscuit. Or got, oh, this is the best one. Got mad with their preacher because they felt like they could do it. You know, it looks easy to some people, what they think apostles do. That's why we have everybody now apostles, broke apostles, unanointed apostles, can't equip your apostles, got cards and briefcases, but have nothing to equip you to deal with the enemy. That day is over forever because of what God has done and what God is doing in the earth realm right here and right now. All right? So those ministry gifts equip the believer and help release them into the ministerial functions. Y'all understand what we need? We got to have these gifts functioning so we can equip the people to handle what God is doing. Now, the prophecy of Scripture. This is the fourth realm of the fourth realm of prophecy is the prophecy of Scripture, what is called canon of Scripture. It is the spoken revelations of God in times past that have become an authoritative canon of Scripture. Now, that is very important because God is not doing something outside of what he has revealed in his word. Canon of Scripture. You can't add to the Bible and you can't take away from it. There's no more revelation like that being given in the earth realm today. Are you listening to me? So when we stand before you, all that we do, all governmental authority must operate according to canon of Scripture. That's why we have a bunch of loose canons. Parking lot prophets, telephone prophets, Facebook prophets, Twitter prophets. Come on, Instagram prophets. I'm just being honest with you. Why? Because they don't want nobody judging what they're telling you. See, all prophetic utterances must be judged by canon of Scripture. The Scripture is line upon line, precept upon precept. You have to have apostles are fathers. They are matured men. Watch this. By reason of use and experience of the word of God. They qualify to equip you. I tell you, when you connect, especially everyone who's connected to Apostle Thompson, you have a chance to really mature because he's putting it out. You connecting to it and you're here. So, you know, now watch what I'm about to say. You could be here and still not connect. No, because some people come to check you out. Well, I know the Bible say prove all things. And some things you just have to observe. I hope you don't think all is God here. Because he always talk about his infirmities and his weaknesses. And he showed enough say, well, I will say this. Apostle testifies, and I go to myself, you one of the wisest men and the most articulate men. I know that sounds wild. He make up his own words. That's okay, too, with me. You know, but the wisdom that you get when you're around him, it's a sensing. You just, can I just say it? He got it going on. And so you want to imitate your father. You want to carry his mantle. It's an honor when somebody say, I can see your father. I know who you sitting under. Well, they'll run you off if it's on you real strong. Because if they don't like him, they ain't gonna like you. So the canon of scripture is the spoken revelations of God in times past that have become an authoritative canon of scripture. I like to say it's infallible. Y'all know what infallible mean, huh? The canon of scripture, without error, incapable of being wrong. Because, you know, we have a lot of people tell you, well, the Bible is not confused. You are. The Bible say we must rightly divide the word of truth. Come on now. There's, you know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews 6, there are baptisms. In Ephesians 4, it say there's one baptism. Well, that don't mean the Bible confused. It means you must, according to 1 Timothy, rightly divide the word of truth. There is one baptism that saves you. It is spirit baptism. It is upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit himself comes and immerses you, places you in the body of Christ. For by one spirit are you all baptized into the one body. That's not talking about speaking with tongues. Because when it comes to speaking in tongues, it is Jesus Christ, the head of the church, who baptizes you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what the Bible says. I say that's what the Bible says. In the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, the Bible says there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set up on each of them. Why didn't it just say they all did it at the same time? Because it was showing personal ministry of the head of the church going to individuals and causing them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? So we got to understand canon of scripture is here for a reason. It's infallible, incapable of error. God said, I cannot lie. It's impossible for me to lie. Now, that's good news. God won't lie to you. And when he send men who really love him and have his agenda. See, the purpose of apostolic government is for us to connect to God's agenda, heaven to earth agenda. This didn't manifest because Apostle wanted a big name. It was God who told him, I'm going to do it for you here in Darrow. It is God who raised him up and put him in this, I believe it was a sugarcane field. Yeah, when you look at what's going on around you, something ought to tell you this apostle, this man of God, when you watch his family life, when you watch the life of the ministry, when you watch this, when you watch his servants, the people who serve. See, when you're a real man of God, everything around you prosper. Right. Family, hallelujah. Ministry, other ministers who connect to you. If they connect properly, I got to say this. I never had money put on the altar till I met him. God came to me in 95 through the voice of a prophet, a real prophet, and told me the day will come where people would not come into your presence without putting an offering in your hand. Now, I had no clue what he was talking about. And he sure enough couldn't have been talking about me, because I don't know what he was talking about. But the minute I met Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. in College Park, Georgia, at a 2 o'clock meeting, and I'm sitting there because I had a church building that needed to be completed, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I see people walking up and putting money on the altar. I'm not moved. See, you can't get this copycatting. This must come by revelation. I'm sitting in the meeting. There are people piling money on the altar. Well, of course, you know, it's going to get your attention. But you don't just walk up there and throw something up there because everybody else is doing it. That's mechanical. It ain't going to do nothing for you. But I tell you what happened. I walked up there and put that $100 in his hand. God told me, God said, who said?
God
said, write a check out in his name.
Uh-huh.
Bring it to him. I walked up and brought it to him. He does what he do with everybody who bring him a check.
Yes.
He look at it. Look at you. Got it on tape. Cannot be denied. Looked at it. Looked at me. I went back to my seat. He put it on the altar. All right. When I got back to my home church that Sunday morning, you want to know what happened? God has spoken to a young lady. Say, now when your pastor get up this morning, write a check out in his name for $100. And don't stop bringing it till I tell you. That's been since 98, and it has not stopped. But not only did she do it, the entire ministry walked that day. Every single person, without no prompting from me, walked up, brought checks to me with my name on it, and $100 denominations that put it there. Then people start bringing cash money and putting it there. What y'all looking at me like that for? When you are properly connected by revelation, these things will happen for you. You cannot be connected to this ministry properly and sowing properly, and these things don't happen. Now, I don't know what all that got to do with canon of scripture, but you go it on and take it for what it is. It's a manifestation of what we connected to. Are y'all with me? See, God can't lie. God promised me and said that day would come. You don't make prophecy come to pass. You just keep flowing with God. And whatever, understand this. When a prophetic utterance truly comes from God, God is not really telling you what he's going to do. God is telling you what he's already done. All you need to do is continue in the process, and it shall surely come to pass. Thank you. I appreciate your enthusiasm. Okay. Let's go. It says, this level of revelation is the direct inspiration, we're talking about canon of scripture, is the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is inerrant, that means free from error. It is infallible, that means it is absolutely trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And sure, unfailing, in effectiveness or what? Operation. That's the canon of scripture. Y'all got it? The prophecy of scripture is no longer given today. God is no longer adding to his written word. It's important to know that, because there are people here who try to operate outside the Bible. The other three levels of prophecy, the other three, what are they? The spirit of prophecy, or the Holy Spirit mantle, huh? The gift of prophecy, which is according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is called the resident gift. And then we're talking about the ministry of the prophet, which is the man in function. You understand? Watch what it says now. Those three realms or levels of prophecy, are judged on the basis of the prophecy of Scripture or canon of Scripture. So all of those realms, the foundation for them is the canon of Scripture. Y'all got it? All right. Now let's go to page 41. See, how we doing with time? I told y'all now. These, they changed the time. Y'all don't get me fired. 7:17. They say 7:35. You make sure. 7:34, throw the phone at me. Do what you got to do. But do not have me go. I understand government. So ain't nobody that annoying it. Be acting like they don't know. Tell them that they was overtaken. You get overtaken in here. Okay. They got some people in here know what I'm talking about. No, let's be in order. Now, in chapter 5, the first couple of sections in chapter 5 talks about the difference between, as I said, the spirit of prophecy, which is the Holy Spirit mantle. Y'all remember what we said about that is when you're dealing with the Holy Spirit's mantle, it talks about having an atmosphere conducive in order for you to prophesy, a conducive atmosphere. When you're in the midst of intense praise and worship, there's an atmosphere that comes. And we said in that atmosphere, you can learn how to prophesy. Under that particular realm, that's the first realm. Remember we talked about Moses, spirit coming up on those men, and they prophesied. You remember Saul sent men to Samuel because they came into Samuel's presence and the company of other prophets, they began to prophesy because they were in an atmosphere that was conducive to them prophesying. Are you with me? Then we talked about the second realm, which is the resident gift. That's talking about those of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't necessarily depend upon the atmosphere to be conducive, because when you have the resident gift on the inside of you, all you need to do is stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. You don't have to wait on nobody to speak in tongues. You understand what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, the more you pray in tongues, the greater the flow gets. You understand that? Apostle say he pray in tongues more than all of us. And it's true. I mean, I'm telling you, the hallmark of who God has been in his life. And he tell us, he say, it's his relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so he want the men and women around him and this school of ministry. We should pray in tongues. If Paul said, I prayed in tongues more than the Corinthian church, and then Paul said it this way, when I'm in your presence, I'd rather say 1,000 words in the language that you know or familiar with so I can build you up, edify you. But in my private life, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm speaking in, why? How could he do it? Because it tells me his private life was full of speaking in tongues. You know, you don't have to wait till you get to church. You know, when you're driving from point A to point B, pray in tongues. I mean, when you're in the store, I mean, you know, praying in tongues is not something for church. It's for your spiritual enrichment and edification, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more you become familiar with the voice of the Spirit. The voice, you know, the voice of the Holy Spirit. We got to hear his voice. Are you with me? All right, that's the resident gift. Everybody, online, across the world, everybody, as a child of God, you have a divine right to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of having been filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Don't accept anything else from nobody else. As a matter of fact, Apostle Peter, the chief apostle to the Jews, told Cornelius and his house when he was sent to cause the first Gentiles to come in. What convinced them that the Gentiles were saved just like they were saved? They saw them and heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Peter said, now who am I that I could tell God what to do in this church? I'm just trying to tell you how it goes. So we can take from that and from other references throughout the scripture, even in the book of Isaiah chapter 28, God said with stammering lips and with another tongue, I'm going to speak to this people, and this is the refreshing wherewith the weary will be refreshed. Let me tell you something, speaking in tongues refresh you.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, some of y'all get the tripping. Y'all trip with people too much. Somebody get on your nerve, take you a prayer break. Go in your corner. Let somebody try and upset you, mess with your cool. You need to take a prayer break. You need to go speak in tongue. Talk to yourself. And psalms and spiritual psalms, making melody on the inside. Do like Clark Kent and Superman. Go in your boot. And see, y'all think I'm playing. I'm not playing. Everybody go through this. Some people, the enemy sent on purpose to mess with you. You need to say, hold that. Well, I'll be back. Because right now I'm in the flesh. I might slice you. So before I cut you to shreds, I'm going to get my closet so I can switch from law, flesh, to grace. All right. I mean, I'm just trying to keep it real. So now, when you go to the next one, which is the ministry of the prophet, man in function. You know, we're talking about those differences, right? Right? See, one, you need an atmosphere. The other one, you have the resident gift. The ministry of the prophet, he just flow. Y'all ready for this? A dog go what? Now y'all want to act like y'all don't know. I'll go, roo! Why y'all want to act like y'all don't know? I say, what a dog do? Y'all be barking at each other. Cat go meow. Cow go moo. Y'all know all that. It's innate. It's natural for them to do it. Well, it's natural for prophets to prophesy. Prophet ain't got to be trying to come up with nothing. He has such a divine connection with God. The utterance just come on out. It's who he is. I'm trying to help y'all up here. See, you got to love this. This ain't nothing to play with. But, you know, when you love doing what you do, I just tell people, I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I would cry if I couldn't do what I'm doing. I put it another way. Ain't worth living no more if you can't do what God called you to do. Try that. Smoke that. I ain't called to be an accountant. I have nightmares about going back to being an accountant. I wake up and paint. Lord, I'm back in. Oh, Lord, I ain't supposed to be here. Yeah, I'm just being real with y'all. Now, those who operate, let me just look at my time here. Page 41. Now I want to go a little further here. Look at B. That's on page, I think it's 41. All right, let's see. All right, look at the time now. B. What, how much time I got?
10 minutes.
Okay. Distinguishing between the gift of prophecy and a prophet's ministry. That's a good one. Now watch. The simple gift of prophecy has often been confused with the ministry of the prophet. All who prophesy are not prophets, but all prophets must prophesy frequently. Oh, Lord. I ain't talking about making stuff up now. We're talking about by reason of growth and maturity. That's why you go through those four realms. You know, you learn in that low level, the first realm, conducive atmosphere. Follow what I'm saying? Then you move into the resident gift. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. So now you can, you know, that's why the Bible says speak in tongues, speaking to yourself. You start developing. You know, I remember, I'm a Kojic boy. When we got filled with the Holy Ghost, that was a wrap. Yeah, once you got filled with the Holy Spirit, that was it. You had hung the moon and the stars. We tarried, got the Holy Ghost, and they said, you got it? Yeah, I got it. I got it. I got it. That was it. The only other time we speak in tongues, if we were in church, got stirred up. We know nothing about praying in the Spirit. See? I say we didn't know. But when we came into that knowledge, we graduated. Are you with me? All right. So the gift of prophecy is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to equip the believer for effective service, whereas the ministry of the prophet is one of the ministry gifts of Christ, which set the believer in their specific ministry function in relation to the body of Christ. Y'all see the difference? Can you see the difference? Now, in Romans chapter 12, because see, a lot of people get all this stuff mixed up. The gifts in Romans chapter 12 are motivational gifts. They are basic gifts that motivate and mobilize the believer for service. Motivational gifts are spiritual inclinations inside the believer's spirit. Y'all heard that? Motivational gifts. You know, you have like those who exhort. You have those who have the ministry of giving. You know, he said, do it with simplicity. See, on the inside of you, you know you're supposed to be a big time giver. You motivated to give. And if you're motivated to give, you're going to motivate others. Because motivators go past them barriers. You never saw 1,000 until you see somebody up there doing it. Remember, Apostle said it was Dr. Price who trained him. He said, that man knows something. He said, I might not have 50,000, but I'm going with my 500. He went up to 100,000. He'll come with his 5, his 10. Now he can do any of it because he was trained. Y'all got it? You got to have people who motivate, motivational gifts. Motivational gifts are spiritual inclinations in the believer's spirit. These gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, I'll say, are charismatic gifts. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit that empower and equip the believers for service. These gifts are resident operations of the Holy Spirit. These gifts are resident operations of the Holy Spirit. When you watch, look at me. When you train properly, you reign properly. See, you could train. When the Holy Spirit starts revealing to you these things, then you watch this. You must hone and specialize in your craft. Y'all understand that? Specialize. In other words, pursue it. If he's pursue it. Watch this. That's what apostle is there for. See, I believe fathers. I don't believe nobody ought to be in ministry if a father didn't send them out. Now, people get mad with me now. Somebody say, well, y'all travel with him and y'all don't do no preaching. And I'm operating from apostolic grace. I don't see no problem with what's going on. I mean, this year alone, I'm just following with the apostle, just traveling with him. This year alone, God has blessed my family and I to give into his ministry over $175,000. And I ain't preached nowhere. I say, huh? You know, I'm just got to tell it like it is. See, that mantle comes upon you. I come from an apostolic grace of money cometh. Money Cometh is not just working in his life. It's working for everybody who connect to him. And what you say? Why are you sowing that kind of? Because I'm sowing to go somewhere. I'm sowing for manifestation. I don't expect to be talking about millionaires. I am already a multimillionaire. Yeah. You don't become a multimillionaire when it show up in the bank. You become a multimillionaire when it show up in the bank. And when it get up in here, it'll come out here. And when it get out here, it'll be in all them accounts you need. I just thought I'd share that with you. You see, because that mantle is up on this house, this school of ministry, and up on everybody online. You have an opportunity to participate in apostolic grace. So those are resident gifts. The gifts in Ephesians 4 and 11, they are ministry gifts. They are gifts of Christ. Mm-hmm. That ordains and anoints the believer to function in a specific dimension in Christ's ministry. Remember, he stood in all fivefold ministry offices, so when he gave these gifts out, he was giving some, a part of himself in each of these. Watch this, so we can't be independent. That's been a problem. We don't need independent, we need interdependent. You understand? And there's no competition amongst these gifts. It's responsibility, not competition. See, competition will make somebody try to elevate to where you are when God didn't call them. Huh? I got 1 minute. I'll see y'all next week.